Anthony Boom isn't a bust. He was a top-round draft pick by GM Chris Ballas at the Wolverine.com draft. Follows the Wolverines. He's standing by on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. And guess what? I'm not afraid of Caleb Williams either. So bring it on, Chicago.
Yeah, I know that. Well, they have DJ Moore, Odunze. They have Keenan Allen. I'm telling you, you look at how bad Caleb Williams and USC underachieved as a football team. Look at the last 2 years. I just want to write that down. And this comparison, I think what the Bears fans are living through right now, that they missed on Mahomes and they think this time we got our guy, right?
Maybe. I mean, he's very good. I don't doubt that he could be an NFL star. But again, like, there's all this talk about, you know, it's with Caleb Williams, it's with, you know, to a certain extent, J.J. McCarthy's in the division now. Jordan Love and the Packers are, you know, had a good second half. And all these, this talk is, oh, well, this division's rising. The Lions better watch it. No, you know, maybe those teams need to wait their turn. Like the Lions fans waited their turn for 30-plus years or whatever. You know, what's a year or two where, you know, I don't see why there needs to be this fear. Again, this is my view as a Lions fan, but why isn't the conversation the other way around? You know, this is a team that was 30 minutes away from being in a Super Bowl. Why isn't the talk from those fan bases about, oh, well, you know, our window is maybe next year or so. So it's like, to me, I think everyone's got it backwards, but that's my 10,000-foot view on it.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, he's a rookie. He has a long ways to go. And the Bears, I don't trust their coaching staff. And I know, well, they played well at the end. We'll see. Again, Caleb Williams, I don't look at him and Jaden Daniels. If you ask me, like I asked Skeen from the Wolverine.com, I think it was last Friday, in 2 years from all these rookie quarterbacks, who will be the best in the NFL? And he said J.J. McCarthy.
I could see it. I think he landed in the best situation of any of those teams. I trust his coaching staff. I trust the playmakers they have around him. Again, it's just, when we talk about J.J. McCarthy, and I feel like I've said this on your airwaves, I've said this, you know, on our show, people confuse the fact, like, they think that Michigan, what they had around him, elevated his play, where really it was the other way around. You know, any quarterback play less than what they got out of J.J. McCarthy, and they were just falling short of beating Ohio State, winning Big Ten championships. And I know Cade McNamara did it for them in 2021, but then he got and played against a team like Georgia, and you just saw how overmatched he was. So, you know, the conversation about J.J. McCarthy to me is, you know, he's been the rising tide. And I think when you, I mean, I just think it's a tailor-made situation for him in Minnesota. So, like I said, excited to see what he does. And, I wouldn't be surprised if he had maybe not a more illustrious statistical career than Caleb Williams, but I think he might be a more winning player. So I don't think that's too out of a take, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. NFC North, you have J.J. and the Michigan connection. Now inside the North with the Vikings, you got Williams, the overall number one pick. And the Bears, you got Love, who really came on strong final two-thirds of the season with Green Bay. That division has gone from a bottom feeder to a very interesting division in the NFC in the last calendar year. Anthony Broom from the Wolverine.com joining us. Speaking of the NFL, and I saw the story at the Wolverine.com, out of all the NFL draft picks and all the roster spots that Michigan had to replace, obviously quarterback would be the most significant one with no J.J. McCarthy. What would be positions 2, 3, 4, and 5 that are going to be tough, not to replace to their level, but just a tough transition time for Sharon Moore and his staff in year one?
That's a great question. I think if obviously quarterback tops that list, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I think maybe that next tier that maybe has the most questions is probably a wide receiver. Now, we've seen them make some moves there in the last few weeks, but I think that's more to fortify the depth. And I like the top three that they have on the depth chart right now. And, you know, it looks like Tyler Morris is going to step into that Ronnie Bell, Roman Wilson type of role. Samaj Morgan, we've seen what he can do as a creative piece in the offense, you know, a slot guy. Certainly they're going to put more on his plate this year. And Fred Moore, I think one of the more one of the maybe breakout players, not the way to put it, but I thought that he had a really good spring and showed us a lot of good things in the spring game as well. But again, you're replacing a guy like Roman Wilson, who was a third round pick. Cornelius Johnson gets drafted. He was productive over the last few years. So to me, with them not going after a quarterback in the transfer portal, which to me was more circumstantial than anything, I just don't think the timeline lined up for them to pursue that guy because they were playing football games longer than anyone else was. And J.J. McCarthy had a decision to make. So I think when you move off of the idea that you're going to bring in a transfer to fill that spot out, it's all about how you support him. And I certainly think that they're probably in the mix for another receiver in the portal, maybe a more proven guy. Offensive line, I think they're going to be fine there. I maybe not quite as deep, but I do think they'll find a five that works and that kind of is able to uphold that standard that the last few years have set. And defensively, I have no questions at all. So really, you look at the offensive side of the ball, and you look at you're replacing pretty much every starter except for one guy in Colston Loveland. I think that the skill position guys, there's going to have to be some guys that step up into bigger roles, even with the tight ends, alongside Colston Loveland as well. So to me, that's probably where the biggest void is at the moment, is who are going to be those skill guys on offense.
Man, I'm looking at that schedule. Fresno State on August 31st at the Big House in Texas. In Ann Arbor the following week, Arkansas State, Butch Jones, coming up north on September 14th. And USC, new member in the Big Ten, on September 21st. And that's in Ann Arbor. And then at Minnesota, in Seattle on the road against Washington, at Illinois, Michigan State will be at Ann Arbor. Then Oregon at the Big House, Indiana and Bloomington, Northwestern in Ann Arbor, and Ohio State in Columbus. My Lord, has Michigan ever had a tougher, at least on paper? And we'll see when the season hits. At least going in, have you ever seen a tougher Michigan football schedule than what lies ahead in 2024?
I don't think so. At least when you look at that schedule, and it's less about the names and you see the logos on the schedule, right? You see USC, you see Washington, you see Oregon. I actually think USC and Washington probably are going to be in for a bit of a rude awakening coming into a Big Ten conference that plays pretty physically. Washington, obviously, they're facing a rebuild too with Kalen DeBoer heading to Alabama, Jed Fish taking over, and a lot of new faces on that team. But, man, it's not going to be like last year. You had, 7-8 weeks before you played a competitive football game. This time around, there is no easing into this season. Everyone talks about Texas in week two, and that's a huge test. But Fresno State's going to come in Ann Arbor on the 31st of August, and they're coming in to try and win a football game. And they've competed, in games like that before. So to me, I think it adds to a sense of urgency of finding who fits these roles? What is this team's identity? And obviously now, a lot of that work is being done off the field and in the weight room, and they'll regroup this summer and get back at it before fall camp starts. But to me, thank God for the 12-team playoff because, you want to win all these games, but you can afford to drop one of them, two of them. Heck, depending on how it plays out, maybe three of them and still kind of squeeze into that field. So it is difficult, but I ultimately think it's a good thing because I just want more games that matter, and that's where we're at now.
Anthony Broome, he's with the Wolverine.com Michigan Insider, joining us on the Meyer guest line on this Monday broadcast. Dusty May, from where Michigan basketball was at the end of the Howard era to where they are right now, and we're talking, less than 2 months. Man, what a job by May, at least putting together a roster, a program that looked like they were 2 to 3 years from being competitive, now brings in an athletic roster, maybe as good as anybody in the Big Ten, and now the key will be, can you create a culture and get those guys to play together?
Yeah, he's built a roster that I think, again, can I say they'll compete for a Big Ten title? No, I can't say that right now, but Are they a top five, top six roster in the conference? I think they're going to be in the mix for that. And you've got, you know, it's not like, you know, you think about some of those rosters early on, like Fred Hoiberg had in Nebraska, and it's just a bunch of transfers and stopgap guys, and, you know, you're just kind of sifting through every level of basketball you can just to feel the roster. No, I mean, Michigan's got, I think, two or three guys who only have 1 year of eligibility left. Most of these guys have at least 2 years of eligibility left. So, you know, not you can't just assume everyone will still be here after next year. I think that the current landscape of college sports, like, it's just not a safe bet to bet that way. But there's going to be a foundation here, and you just keep building onto it and building onto it. And I said this over the weekend. I mean, Dusty May is the guy that if there are 24 hours in a day, he's going to find a way to get 36 hours worth of work done or whatever it is. Like I've never seen a coach hit the ground hit the ground running as hard as he is right off the bat. So, does it guarantee success? No. But I think you could rest your head pretty easily if you're a Michigan fan that this guy has and will continue to flip over every possible stone to not only make sure this team is competitive, but he wants to put them, you know, he's been to a Final Four. He wants to get back and he wants to get farther than that, you know? And I think just the way you've seen him work, you see the way you've seen him fundraise for NIL, he's doing a lot of that on his own, kind of making the rounds and shaking hands and making phone calls. It's been a phenomenal hire right off the bat. And you could only grade him on what he's done so far. It's so hard to project, but it's A's across the board at this point.
Anthony Broom, solid work as always on and off air. Follow him, Clayton Safey, Chris Ballas, Doug Skeen, John Borton, and the entire Wolverine.com recruiting crew and more at the Wolverine.com. Hey, B, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, guys.